my beloved people, there is nothing in particular this morning that I think needs to be pointed out from the bulletin. But I do wish to point out one little thing that is not in the bulletin, and that is that for the next 3 days here in our monastery, we, the monks, are going to go into seclusion. And that means if there is anything that you might think needed to be or you desire to transact, please try to put it off until after these 3 days. There will be 3 days of mortification and penance and prayer and sacrifice. This is something no more, no less, and what is supposed to be done. And we offer this up to Almighty God to be used as Almighty God wishes for it to be used, particularly in searching out good and holy vocations for this house and the holy priesthood and the sisters. This is the primary thrust of these 3 days of special prayer and mortification. So we will go pretty much into seclusion. There will be, of course, certain things of business matters that simply have to be transacted, and those we will transact as quickly as possible and dispatch them as quickly as possible so that our serenity will not be disturbed by anything that does not directly pertain to Almighty God. Let your love be without pretense. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, every Sunday in the bulletin there are short discourses, which, as you know, I have urged you to read them carefully. And in most cases, maybe even all cases, I might suggest that you read them over more than once, because there is an overriding message which is intended to be included in these that would be of help. And after you read something the second or the third time, you will find that in between the lines, something that is not necessarily in print, something that is not necessarily in print will speak up and out to you. Something that is there, an atmosphere that is there, a message that is there that we need to see. And oftentimes the message that speaks out to you from in between the lines might well be coming from the Holy Spirit himself, for all we know. And what has been stressed in the last many weeks has been prayer, penance, mortification, sanctity, which is, after all, sanctity is our purpose for being here. God put me here, put you here for the one reason and one reason alone, and that is to become saints. We unfortunately, because of the fall of our first parents, have tarnished this purpose, have distorted the purpose, and we have looked to other things that have become important to us almost as purposes. We have to do what we can to straighten this out, to straighten this mentality within us out, and always keep first things first. We cannot be saints if we permit that which is not saintly to lurk about within us. If we are saints, or if we wish to become saints, we're not saints. If we wish to become saints, putting on a vesture of sanctity does not necessarily make saints of us. This has been pointed out before. As I read a moment ago, let not our love be pretentious. Sometimes we, in our desire to become saints, do and perform saintly things. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that, if there is sincerity in what we are attempting to do. If there is genuineness in what we are attempting to do. But this is not always the case. We must learn that we cannot, by wearing certain things, by doing certain things, by saying certain prayers, we must remember that we cannot cloak, as it were, our interior feeling, our interior disposition. If there is arrogance in us, no matter what we do, it will show forth. The arrogant person sometimes says, well, if you confront him with it, he will say, well, I don't believe I'm arrogant. I'm not trying to be arrogant. But arrogance is within him. And therefore, it leaks out. And it shows forth no matter what he does. In all of his actions, arrogance is there. If a person has anger in him, there's no way in the world that he can conceal it. It doesn't mean simply because he didn't tear the house down that he's not angry. Anger comes out, it comes out of our pores. It's almost like perspiration. It's electrical. It's a body odor type of thing. We cannot conceal it. No way in the world. And those around us are affected and notice the odor that we give forth. And so it is with holiness. Holiness comes out of us if there's holiness in us. Holiness will show forth, will come out of us not so much as the ugly odor of arrogance and pride, but rather as a beautiful odor which cannot be concealed. And it flows forth from us. It isn't forced. A holy person does not have to do holy things in order to display his holiness. It flows easily. It's not noticeable, but it's there. And the people can feel it. They can taste it. They can witness it. They can enjoy it. It's consistent. It's unconscious. One is, if one still feels that he has to perform conscious acts of holiness, that person has not yet reached the mark. If one feels that he has to perform conscious acts of holiness. Holiness is unconscious. You don't know that you're doing these things, yet it is there. And that's precisely the way we, as human beings, when we put on the vesture of a human being, which is the vesture of God, and the most suitable vesture of God, if he wishes to come to the earth, is the way we're dressed as humans. I don't mean clothing. This is what we must, during these days of our lives, put forth, my beloved people. We came here to be saints, and we will not be saints until we strip ourselves of that which is not saintly. We have work to do. Lent is on the way. The minute we put away the Christmas decoration, you can be sure that things will be turning into purple in a matter of days. And the whole episode of the life of Jesus Christ begins to be manifested before us. It begins with his birth on earth, and it ends with his ascension into heaven later. So we must look to him as our model. We must look to him as our exemplar, and we must see how he did things, because we must imitate him to the best of our ability. In today's gospel, you might think that he was a little snippy with the Blessed Mother. Not at all. And she knew it. They were without wine. Apparently, she must have had something to do with the party. Apparently, she was in charge of something. Obviously, if she had not been, she would not have known. Guests do not know that things are running short, do they? So she had to be something other than a guest. She had to be in charge of whatever, though she had been invited, and our Blessed Lord himself had been invited, and his disciples with him were invited. And when she saw that there was trouble about to, or trouble was a brewing, because things were running short, she went to him and merely said, take this for notice, they have no wine. That's all that was said. And he sounded as though he said, it's none of our business, is it? Certainly none of your business. There was no other dialogue. He simply said, what is it to me? My hour, I'm not ready yet. I have not started. And the only other remark that was spoken was, as she looked to the attendants, do whatever he tells you to do. That's all that was said. We know the rest of the story. There are many things here that need to be, that can be explored. First of all, the power that she controls is very first work on this earth, public work that is, his very first public work on this earth was introduced by her. And when he indicated, when he indicated the slightest hesitancy, she did not back off. She merely said to the others, do whatever he tells you to do. Which indicates that she knew all about it. And so he did. And he performed his very first miracle at her behest. So If we ourselves wish to perform, wish to develop, rather, sanctity within us, we must look to these individuals, Jesus, Mary. St. Joseph, by that time, had already gone to his heavenly reward. But we look to these for the guidance that we need in faith and in hope and in love. My beloved people, unless we do this, we shall be uneasy, we shall be fearful, we shall be concerned. And as we pray for our beloved loved ones, whoever they may be, and wherever they may be, we have to start with ourselves, putting ourselves in the same quality of faith that Mary had, the same quality of faith that Mary had when she said to the men, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She believed, and for that she received what she was asking for. We must believe, and we must have confidence. And at the same time, in our own predicament that we are in at the present moment, all of us, in a predicament of a world that has gone berserk, those of us who have been given the grace that we have been given have the extra responsibility of additional work to perform. Work which is mortification, which is penance, which is sacrifice, which is reparation, which is prayer. This is an obligation. We are the ones who might well be holding back the hand of Almighty God in his desire to punish the rest of mankind. Does that make us better than the rest? Of course not, and you know it. But at least we have the grace to understand that we are willing, our willingness to perform this, to make this gift, to make this sacrifice for him, to him, in a worshipful manner for the welfare of all mankind, particularly our own beloved ones. So pray for us too, while you're at it, that in these 3 days our gift may be to God a perfect gift, as perfect as we can give, that we will be given the grace, that our hearts will be purified to such a degree that whatever it is we give will be given with the genuine stability and consideration and understanding and charity and obedience and humility, all of which are required of anyone who makes an offering to God. Our offering is not just for ourselves, it's for you. It's for us all. That's what we're here for. And we're going to see more of these days appearing in times to come. Because we must be about our Father's business too. So God bless you and keep you. And as we pray for you, you in turn please pray for us.